Okay, thank you for finding the room. Okay, so I would like to acknowledge my co-author for this talk, Irka Simonek from the University of Arizona. Irka is here, and Irka is the main developer of the Hydros 1D, 2D, 3D software that simulates water flow and solute transport and many other processes, heat transport, root water uptake, and other processes in the soil. And Irka keep on going, doing the great job, and introducing Hydros to many, many people. Second, I would like to mention that there is a conference that Yoni is making in Israel, Root Research at the Forefront of Science. It's international symposium in July 2018. If you want some brochure, Yoni has them, so feel free to take it from Yoni. Today I'm going to convince you that our research with sensors, maybe we can do it also with models, not only with the particular sensors that we will put in experimental studies. Of course we need them, but we need also to make some modeling efforts to understand better the system and to understand the algorithms and to understand the thresholds to actuate the irrigation. So irrigation, when we are coming to the field, we have two very serious questions. Is when to irrigate and how much to irrigate. This is the irrigation scheduling. From the same amount of water, you can create different amount of yields. And for those two questions, we suffer a lot and we investigate them for a long time. And there's not only one result for this question, because the system is complex. Different soils, different crops, different climates, different salinities of the irrigation water, different crop qualities that are needed, and then in the end we will have different results for these questions. The current estimation that 65% of the water that we're using in agriculture is not utilized by plants. So just imagine that you have a cake and two-thirds of the cake you throw and you use only third of the cake, and then you are hungry. Yeah, the rest is going for evaporation from the soil surface, drainage from the system, runoff, leakage in the systems, so many losses, and eventually we want to maximize the water use efficiency. We want to produce as much food as possible. We want more crop per drop. However, we want to affect as little water as possible. So if we have drainage from those root zones with agrochemicals, we want to minimize it and prevent contamination of groundwater. So it's not only to produce more crop per drop, it's also to affect less the environment. What can we do? We can use sensors. I believe that with sensors we can do better, because we have some information from the field and many people are using sensors. It started with tensiometers many years ago with Livingstone in 1907, more than 100 years ago. He put a ceramic cup in the soil and the plant was extracting water and drying the soil and decreasing the pressure head in the soil, and then you could see it in this manometer. Later on, Richards, the famous L.A. Richards from the Richards equation, he was the first one that published on a tensiometer that this is practically the tensiometer that we use almost until now, with a cap. Yes, there is a cap here, and a tube, and a gauge. Currently we are using a gauge with a pressure a transducer, but it was a regular gauge in the past. Even I can see it in some fields, I still see it, this regular gauge. And recent contribution to this tensiometer studies is the work of Shani and Schweitzer, that they used tensiometers that they connect them together to one sensing unit, and by this they decrease the spatial variability of the measurements. So there are tensiometers out there, but we don't like to do babysitting, and recently many, many sensors are flourishing, and there are many companies that are selling many sensors. Those are electrical sensors that measure water content or estimate the water content in the soil. and there are many sensors, capacitance sensors, TDR systems, true TDR, and different configurations. All of them give us information from the field. All of them can be today connected to wireless sensors, networks, and give us the information to our smartphone. In the end, we need to work with them and to find the threshold to actuate the irrigation. Recognizing the effect of environmental conditions on the measurement, those sensors also measure bulk electrical conductivity and temperature in the soil. So most of those sensors have multiple readings, and all this information is coming to the irrigator. And then what? The irrigator has questions. Where to install the sensing device? Yes, you can install it in several locations in the field, recognizing that the soil is very heterogeneous material. The plant roots are heterogeneous in the soil. How many sensors do we need to get a representative value, to get a representative value in order to make the right decision? How does the sensor influence the flow regime? So if it's a big sensor and the flow regime can be alternated because of the roads or because of the preferential flow around the sensor, there's many questions out there. How does the environmental conditions change the sensor reading? So we have temperature changing in the soil. Sometimes it might change the measurement. And then, after answering all this and correcting the sensor and correcting for temperature and installing it in the right place, what is the optimal threshold to trigger the irrigation? Okay, we open irrigation, we trigger it. Now we need to close the irrigation. When should we do it? Based on what? So we have many, many questions. Of course, we can do experiments from now until the end of the world. And for different soils, for different climates, for different crops, we will get different results. What I'm suggesting, and people suggested before also, is to use models. Models for water flow and solute transport in the soil, and Hydrus is one of those models. IRCA is making this two-dimensional, three-dimensional water flow and solute transport model together with Rin van Genuchten and others. They're developing it for the last 25 years, I suppose. And this model is really a continuation of work of many years, and every year there is some another advancement in this model. For instance, last year we developed a root growth model that is embedded in the model now. So the biological part is improving all the time in this model. Okay, so why use models? We have models and we want to use them, but why? The model can be experimented at a lower cost. We can sit in this room and simulate the conditions outside and get a good numbers. Hopefully, always we get numbers, not all the time, that are good. But it will be with less effort and practically in the field we can have diseases, we can have different temperature, different seasons, and we can do the real system in the computer, and it will save us time and less risk, of course. And today, with the problem of funding, this is a good way to go. It can, for several processes, it can take very long time, even it's impossible to collect the necessary data. For instance, drainage below the root system, we need big lysimeters or other devices to collect this drainage, and with models we can really collect the information from the computer. And of course the model can facilitate this planning and estimation, this sensitivity analysis that we need for finding the right algorithm, investigating new hypotheses, and yeah, the model, I suppose, can help us to do this. So what are we solving? For water flow, we are solving the Richards equation. The Richards equation is a combination of the continuity equation and the Richards and the Darcy equation. And what do we have? The change in water content and with time is equal to the change of flux with distance. And we have this sink dam for root water uptake. The flux is a combination or multiplication of the product of hydraulic conductivity and the gradient of the pressure with distance, the pressure head. And we have also a term that recognizes the effect of the anisotropy in the soil. So as you see here, we have three different functions and it's highly non-linear equation and it's very hard to solve it analytically, although Shmulik is trying pretty much to do it for certain conditions, and he can do it for certain conditions. However, still for real soils, for real heterogeneity, we use numerical models in order to solve these equations. Water content is changing with pressure, hydraulic conductivity is changing with pressure head, and also root water uptake is changing with pressure head. So this is the Richards equation for the water flow. And for the solute transport, we are solving the convection dispersion equation. And here we have the change in the amount of salt with the time, the salt that are in the pore water, the soaked salts, and another term that recognizes the effect of velocity on the transport of salts and the diffusion and dispersion on the effect on the salts. And we have another term that recognizes the rate constant representing some reaction that we might have in the soil. So we have the solute transport. Those two equations are solved iteratively, and those are combined in the solution, and the solution will be pressure head with time and space, water content with time and space, and concentration of different solutes with time and space. Recently, in 2013, not recently, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, we developed this new system-dependent boundary conditions. We call it triggered irrigation boundary condition in Hydrostudy 3D. This is from the graphical user interface of Hydros. You can choose this triggered irrigation approach, and it's a boundary condition that is triggered when the pressure head in a particular observation point in Hydros drops below a specified value. So you need to choose an observation point, and once you choose it, you need to specify which one, because you can choose many different observation points. And then you need to specify the pressure head triggering irrigation, so you need to specify it, its predefined value, and then you will say what will be the irrigation rate on the certain boundary, what will be the duration of the irrigation, and if you have a lag time between the decision until the irrigation, recognizing that in some controllers there is a lag behind between the initiation of the irrigation and the decision making. Okay, this is from the graphical user interface. So we developed this, and now I'm going to show you some results of experiments that was done, and also numerical experiment that was done to compare between the results from the reality and the results from the model. Okay, so we have the dripper here. This is the surface dripper, and the tensiometer, the observation point, is located here below. We have boundary conditions. In order to solve this partial differential equation, we need boundary conditions, soil properties, and initial conditions, and all of those are given into the code by graphical user interface. Down below we have free drainage boundary condition. Here in the sides we have no flow boundary conditions, and we have root water uptake, the change with time and space. I'm not going to give you all the details here. So initially what we're doing is calibration. We have experiment that we're doing, and we're trying to make the same experiment in the computer. So here you can see the measured and simulated matrix heads that are measured with a tensiometer during 96 hours. And we had here two different potential transpiration rates, 3 millimeter per day and 5 millimeter per day. The irrigation threshold is with the dotted line here, dashed line. Okay, here it's minus 40, and also here it's minus 40. So every time that the pressure head in a predefined point in the soil arrived to minus 40, okay, irrigation was started. And then we have drainage, we have evaporation, and we have root water uptake, and the matric head in the soil decreases with time. Okay, so here when the potential evapotranspiration was 3, only one irrigation was actuated. Okay, and here when the with the same threshold, when it was 5 millimeter per day, we had 1, 2, 3, 4 irrigations. As you see, the dots here are the measured value, and the line is the simulated value. You see differences, it's not 100%, and always when I see data, I suspect that it's 100%. It can never be 100% because we have noise in reality, and this noise is always there, and we don't know all the parameters. We have some parameters that we estimate, but we are not sure that those are constant even parameters. Maybe they can change with time, but still the model capturing the irrigation, and it's capturing the behavior, and still you see differences between the measured results and the simulated results, but we are trying to do the best. We are calibrating the parameters until we have the best match. After this, we are validating the model. So validating model is taking results that the model haven't seen before and trying to see if with the calibrated parameters we can predict the measurements. Okay, here you see the calibration, the validation process. Here you see simulated and measured matric heads during 96 hours. This is 96 hours, and this is the matric head. And here we have it for 4 millimeter of irrigation. So once we trigger the irrigation, we open for 5 millimeters based on amount. Yes, we give 4 millimeters, and here down below we give 1 millimeter. Therefore, if we give 1 millimeter, the pressure head is arriving sooner to the threshold again, because root water uptake, and again, those are in the same potential transpiration. So root water uptake, drainage, and evaporation will bring the threshold sooner compared to 4 millimeter, that the soil is wetter in that location of the tensiometer. So it's pretty good. The model can find the right irrigation, and here we had 4 irrigation a day, and here we had 1 irrigation a day, and it's pretty good, I would say, the results from the model. Okay, once we have a calibrated and validated model, we can do kind of sensitivity analysis. So sensitivity analysis is changing some parameter, keeping the other constant. So what we did here is changing the threshold of the irrigation starting a point. So it's from minus 30 to minus 200 centimeter. Here we have the irrigation divided by potential transpiration. So if it's 1, we're giving exactly the amount of water that the plants need without drainage. If it's below 1, it's deficit irrigation. We're irrigating less than the plant needs. Usually when we do it, we have less yield, but we're increasing the water use efficiency. If we are irrigating above 1, it's meaning that we have drainage below the root zone. Sometimes we want to do it because if we have salts in the irrigation water, we want to maintain favorable conditions in the soil because salt accumulates, and we want to leach below the root zone. Okay, so we have two soils here, loamy soil and sandy loam soils, with two transpiration levels, potential transpiration, 8 and 4 millimeters per day. And look at this. When you decreasing the threshold, it's more negative, yes, more negative, you're going towards deficit irrigation. So the irrigation will come much later, the plant will suffer, and then it will schedule the irrigation later, and yeah, maybe it's not the best idea for the irrigator if he wants to get the maximum yield. Okay, if you want to have exactly 1 for that soil, for that potential transpiration, you should put it in minus 40, approximately. However, if this guy wants to do deficit irrigation, he needs to change the condition to minus 60. Now, this is very nice because some people want to do regulated deficit irrigation. During part of the season, they would like to have good conditions. In other parts, because of many other reasons, they want to have deficit irrigation. And then with changing the threshold throughout the season, they can achieve this option of regulated deficit irrigation. Also, if the potential transpiration is changing, you have dry period. I mean, when we are irrigating, we have the entire year, and sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's hot, sometimes the environmental demand is big and sometimes it's slow. Therefore, we must change the threshold of the irrigation. Today, most of the people, most of the farmers are keeping a constant threshold throughout the year. And probably this is not the best idea. And based on those simulations, we could prove it. Here I'm looking at the this threshold to get 100% of the yield, meaning irrigation divided by potential transpiration equal to 1. And this is the threshold to have this. So here we have the potential transpiration ranging from 2 to 8 millimeters per day. And you see that the threshold is not constant. If the potential transpiration is higher, so if the VPD is higher, we need to decrease the threshold. And why is this? Why we cannot keep the same threshold and give the plant to change the frequencies between the irrigation? We need to remember that we are measuring in one point. One point, and we're making decision for the entire root system. And maybe this point at that time is not the representative point. But that's what we have. We cannot change and put different tensiometers in different times. We have only one point. So with this point, we need to schedule the irrigation, and therefore we need to change the threshold. Soil is very heterogeneous material. We have layers. Sometimes we are closer to the riverbed and we have deep soil and more clay. Sometimes we are on the mountain and we have shallow soil. Soil is very heterogeneous material. And to do experiment with heterogeneous soil is pretty difficult. And I'm suggesting to do it in the computer with the model. Hydros 2D, 3D can generate scaling factors that reproduce hydraulic conductivity in different locations in the soil. We call it realization. We keep the same average hydraulic conductivity, and each map of scaling factors will give us the same average with the same standard deviation or the same scaling factors, the same correlation length, sorry. And each time that we press the button, we can generate a new map and a new simulation. And that's what we did. We did hundreds of those simulations. And now we will look at those these results. So the question is, in heterogeneous soil, where to put the tensiometer? Close to the irrigation device or far away from the irrigation device? So here we have different observation points around the subsurface emitter. Here it's subsurface compared to previously that it was surface emitter. In different locations, we have different observation points. 0 centimeter from the source, 10 centimeter, 20 and 30 centimeters from the soil. Okay, let's look at some of the results. Here we look at the matrix head and the coefficient of variation of 100 simulations. So we took 100 simulations and then we did the average matrix head of different realization, different soils. Yes, basically it's the same average, same correlation length, but each time you press the button, it's distributed differently. Still, we have here the average. During the irrigation, the pressure head is decreasing, and later on, again, it's decreasing with time, and it's because of root water uptake, drainage, and evaporation. Let's look at the coefficient of variation. During the irrigation, the coefficient of variation increasing from 0 to 20%, even sometimes 30%. So during the irrigation, the hydraulic conductivity of the surrounding soil around the dripper affecting the flow regime. And therefore, water is flowing to the sensor in different time, and it will arrive to the sensor in different times. And if we are closing the irrigation based on the same sensor, or we're going to put a sensor far away and close because of the other sensor, we're going to make a huge mistake because we have variability in the soil. Therefore, we need to close the irrigation based on amount and not based on the other sensor or the same sensor. So we need to open the irrigation based on the threshold and close the irrigation based on the amount if we have variability in the soil. Here we look at the effect size index. This is the signal to noise ratio of those measurements, and you see that if you have a sensing device very close to the emitter, you have the best effect size index, and when you go far away, the signal to noise ratio is decreasing. Okay, so concluding so far, those results that are presented here show that HYDROS 2D and 3D predictions of irrigation events and matrix heads are in good agreement with the experimental data. It's not the best. We are developing HYDROS. We are developing new sensors. Both are developing with time. And hopefully in the future we will have better models, better sensors, but already now we can use the models to improve the sensors, to improve the algorithms, and the code can be used to optimize the irrigation threshold and water amounts applied in the irrigation episode. The irrigation threshold should be modified during the season. Currently, we use a constant irrigation threshold. Most of the users are using constant threshold, and probably this is wrong. If we want optimal irrigation, we should change the threshold during the season. How to change the threshold? It's for another story, for another presentation. It's not trivial. The variability. We have variability in the soil. We have variability of the sensor measurements, as it's increasing substantially during the change in soil water status. Therefore, algorithms that turns off the irrigation when the matrix head rises above a preset value should be avoided because of the increase in variation of the sensor measurement during the irrigation. So it's better to start the irrigation based on the reading and close the irrigation based on amount. Okay. I will end my presentation here, and I would like to go further. I will skip this and thanks the project Root of the Matter. This is part of the funds that we got from Ministry of Agriculture. This is a multidisciplinary project. It's a quite big project, and if you try to find this Root of the Matter, you will find a dentist probably, and not this project, but there is a website. Again, if you need some brochures, you can take them from Yoni for the conference. They have the same logo, almost the same logo of the of this Root of the Matter project. And I would like to thank also Yael, which helped me to gather some of this data. Yael is my PhD student. Thank you very much.